Dr. Charlene Chen.
Question two, please.
Mr. Speaker, sir, may I have your permission to address all questions 2 to 5 on today's order paper together?
Please proceed.
Thank you, sir. My response will also address related oral and written PQs scheduled for the sitting on and after the 7th of May. Sir, artificial intelligence or AI is increasingly accessible, not just on the internet, but also embedded in hardware and even toys. General purpose AI is also easily available online. It is therefore important for students, even younger ones, to develop overall awareness of AI in daily life, have guided discussions on its benefits and risks, and be ready to use AI. AI is going to cause disruption and create opportunity, and we want to prepare our children well and equip them with the knowledge and skills to meet this new world. MOE's approach is simple but deliberate. For every student to learn about AI, learn to use AI, learn with AI, and most importantly, learn beyond AI. These are what we call the four learns. Theoretical knowledge alone is not sufficient. Our students also need well-designed and supervised hands-on experiences through the use of educational AI tools guided by our teachers. This spiral approach, as students progress through different levels in school, prepares them to harness AI to benefit their learning, critically evaluate AI output, and guard against risks such as cognitive offloading. We want to develop AI literacy in our students in a calibrated and purposeful way. Our approach is informed by research on how children learn and develop, and what is helpful at each stage of growth. Technology, including AI, is used only when it supports educational objectives and students' development. This has guided us when introducing AI in our schools. So from primaries 1 to 3, physical, tactile, hands-on learning is prioritized as students build foundational knowledge and develop cognitive and social skills. But students learn about the basics of AI, so AI literacy, so that they are aware of its presence in their daily lives, but schools will not assign any work that requires them to use AI directly. But from primary 4, our students would have developed foundational literacy, numeracy, and basic foundational knowledge of AI in their daily lives. Research also shows that around this age, they would have developed some executive functioning skills like planning, task initiation, and ability to evaluate their own thinking, to begin to use simple digital tools to support their learning. We will therefore let them use educational AI tools under teacher supervision. Students in primary 4 to 6 will only use AI tools in school that are specifically designed for education, and they will only do so under teacher supervision. This includes the AI-enabled tools that we have introduced in SLS, the Singapore Student Learning Space, which are specially designed to help our children and our students learn. These tools have inbuilt safety guardrails. For example, primary 4 students in an English language class can use the AI Learning Assistant, or LEA, in the student learning space for composition writing in class. Using the prompts provided by the teacher, our students can get some ideas on how to show, not tell, a technique where students enhance their writing through details on actions and emotions to help readers better experience the narrative and refine their drafts based on personalized feedback from the learning assistant. In this case, the learning assistant supports students to iteratively improve their writing with more engaging content and vivid language to strengthen their writing skills. The learning assistant gives every student an individual AI writing coach that responds to our students in real time based on their specific drafts. As a guardrail, the learning assistant will redirect students back on track if they veer off topic and ask irrelevant questions, or if they want to be spoon-fed with direct answers. So last year, my colleagues and I tried it out, and we were in a class. There was a particular topic, and we deliberately tried to go off course and say, you know, what's good in the canteen? You know, how can I use this topic for a party trick? And they will tell us to say, no, this is not relevant. Please, you know, let's get back on topic. let's learn about this and that. At the same time, our teachers can reinforce our students' AI literacy during lesson consolidation by guiding them to form good learning habits when using AI. As students learn to use AI and learn with AI, they'll also learn more about what AI is. They are taught about how it works, how to be discerning about AI output, and the importance of being responsible for the content that they create. During cyber wellness lessons, students are taught to be discerning about AI output, as it may contain errors or false information, and the importance of being responsible for the content that they create. Prior to using the AI tools in the student learning space, students go through the basic module on AI and AI-enabled features in SLS. To teach them about the tools that they are about to use in SLS and how to use them for their learning. From Primary 4, students undergo the mandatory 10 hours Code for Fun program. It's Code for Fun, but it's mandatory. It's a program which includes coding, computational thinking, and introduction to AI, so that our students appreciate AI's benefits, risks, and limitations, and understand how AI uses data to learn. Under Code for Fun, primary schools can also opt for two additional AI for Fun modules, each 5 hours, that delve further into generative AI and computer vision, respectively. Schools will also teach students when they should not use AI, so that they do not take shortcuts to get answers without actual learning. We want to provide our students with a school environment where they can develop good learning habits and understand the importance of upholding academic integrity. For example, some secondary schools may design tasks which allow students to use AI. In these situations, students must state where they have used AI and cite the sources of information. This helps to prepare them for post-secondary education, where they will be expected to use AI far more heavily in anticipation of what their future workplace might look like. However, if students pass off AI-generated content as their own, they will have to bear the consequences of academic dishonesty. National exams continue to be proctored, and the use of AI is prohibited. If students use AI as a shortcut for their daily work instead of learning deeply, they will not be able to demonstrate the level of mastery expected during these exams. In cases where the use of AI is permitted in national exams, such as for coursework, teacher supervisors monitor students' work such that AI use meets the objectives of the assessment. Educational tools made available by MOE have inbuilt safety guardrails to protect learners' interests, privacy, and well-being. Besides the educational guardrails to ensure good learning, data from students' use of MOE-built AI tools is anonymized and not used to train external AI models that power these tools. When schools use commercial off-the-shelf AI tools, they are required to check that the input data does not contain personal information or personal identifiable information and is in compliance with data management guidelines. Our teachers play a central role in harnessing AI effectively for student learning, and we've been equipping them with the necessary knowledge and skills to do so. For instance, we provide opportunities for our teachers to learn about AI, including the ethical and pedagogical considerations of its use and its associated risks and limitations. We also facilitate the sharing of good practices on AI use amongst our educators. These include workshops and network learning communities led by our master teachers, as well as online sharing platforms. At MOE, we seek to keep up to date with international reports on how other systems are approaching the use of AI in education. We also fund projects that study how AI affects children's development and learning. And one example is the Singapore Longitudinal Early Development Study, or SGLEADS, by ASTAR, which will start to collect data in 2027. This research seeks to understand Singapore children's AI usage patterns and how their AI usage affects their learning and well-being outcomes. But given how quickly AI is developing, we are also working with our schools to conduct short-term research to inform classroom practices in a timely manner. We know that some parents have misgivings about exposing their children at an early age to AI. Many are already struggling with their children's excessive screen time on smartphones and devices at home. Through the Parents Gateway and MOE's social media platforms, we've been sharing with parents how schools use AI and how parents can support their children's use of AI in their education journey. And some schools even meet parents at the start of the year or at different points in time to engage them. The recent posts entitled "We Answer How Your Primary School Child is Learning with AI" on MOE's social media is one example. Schools also share with parents how AI tools may be used in teaching and learning at the school level and provide avenues for parents to share their views on the use of AI tools. AI has been developing rapidly and is increasingly embedded into everyday systems around us. If we're not mindful, we may lose the consciousness in detecting the presence of and influence that AI has in our decision-making and ways of thinking simply because it works so seamlessly. So development of AI literacy is critical and must be timely. Education systems across the world are responding to this differently. Some systems like China, the UAE, and the UK have introduced AI, AI literacy, AI use from primary one. Others like India or states in Australia and the US start at similar ages to Singapore or slightly later. MOE has chosen to take a calibrated approach informed by the learning sciences, emerging research and studies conducted by practitioners and academics, and ongoing exchanges with various countries. Our approach is therefore a dynamic one. As AI develops and more research is done, we will continue to calibrate and adjust our approach to the use of AI in education. Even as we prepare our students to be future ready, I want to assure parents and fellow Singaporeans that the use of AI in education seeks to be balanced and age-appropriate and applied purposefully to support students' learning and development.
Dr. Chen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank the Minister for his replies. I have a few questions. Number one, how do we ensure that our students still learn to think independently, even with the use of AI? Number two, will the AI curriculum account for the needs of vulnerable students, such as those with special needs and mental health challenges? And number three, will the Ministry also consider studying the impact of AI on those of vulnerable children and those from at-risk families as well? Thank you.
Minister Lee.
Indeed, the member is right. We want to make sure that even as our children start to use AI tools for learning or use AI tools for their schoolwork as they grow older, that it scaffolds and enhances cognitive development and metacognitive development and not hobble it. So independent learning, independent ability is an important part of AI in education. And our approach is one that I also want to, I brought this for everybody to take a look. This is our approach to AI in education, and we have as a guiding principle, number one, students at the center, keeping student learning as the goal and maintaining student agency. And principle number two is pedagogy first, which means good teaching and learning must come first, enabled by skillful use of AI. Now, these are two broad concepts, the heuristics that guide us, and beneath that, there are guidelines and principles and quick guides that enable us to adjust and adapt the use of AI in the classroom, as well as on SLS. With regards to students with special needs or education needs, SEN, and mental health, as I said yesterday and I said previously, that we have SEN officers in school, we have student school counselors, we have teachers who are given basic foundational knowledge on how to support students with education needs. And in the classroom, as well as under teacher supervision, the use of AI enabled tools in SLS will continue to be under teacher supervision. And for children with SEN needs, they will keep an eye out for them. Likewise, for children coming from more vulnerable families, right? We need to, you know, AI in education, AI in SLS, AI in MOE schools is not used for affective or social-emotional issues or social-emotional learning. We don't use our chatbots or AI tools to check on students' well-being or to help them build up social-emotional skills. That is the sole domain of our educators, right, and our MOE staff. But we use it on the cognitive front to help our children. And when it comes to children from more vulnerable families, if there are specific issues that may impact their use of AI in learning, then our schools will specifically support them and scaffold for them.
Mr. Kenneth Teong.
Thank you, Speaker. Three SQs. First, many parents I've spoken to are worried about cognitive offloading, the phenomenon where children offload their thinking to AI. Metacognition, the ability to notice when you're wrong, is built through struggle and not through receiving correct answers. And the evidence is that students who encounter difficulty before resolving it develop stronger self-correction capacity. So how does MOE intend for our learners to encounter productive struggle to build these metacognitive skills? Second, the Sweden's Karolinska Institute advised the Swedish government, and I quote, there is clear scientific evidence that digital tools impair rather than enhance student learning, end quote. That conclusion drew on multiple peer-reviewed studies covering reading comprehension, distraction, executive function development, and equity outcomes. And the Swedish government acted on this, reversing its digitalization strategy in 2023 and investing over 200 million euros to reintroduce physical textbooks and removing mandatory digital tools for young children. I'm sure the minister is aware of this. So what are his points of disagreement with the Swedish example? And number three, some parents have also asked if they will have the option of opting out their children from specific aspects of AI tool usage in classrooms.
Minister Lee.
I think on the first point, we are at IDEM. We want to make sure that in using AI tools, our children do not cognitively offload. And that is shorthand for saying that they rely on the AI as a crutch to deliver the answer, but not learn deeply, so they don't develop cognitively. And that's why in my earlier reply, I mentioned that the MOE tools that are used in SLS are teacher supervised. And they do not. The tools are structured in a way that they do not allow children to ask for spoon-fed answers. All right. So, for example, the learning feedback assistant mathematics. All right. You try the SLS maths question, guided by LFA mathematics. It will not spoon-feed you the answer, whereas general-purpose AI tools will. But these are not used in the MOE space in SLS. And it will then remind you to say, no, this approach is wrong. It'll prompt you. Some say it's a Socratic style, okay, but it prompts you so that it causes you to go back and revisit the principle you've learned. And it will not spoon-feed you. So that's the key. Of course, our concern for parents is that the children may use tools outside SLS at home, use general-purpose tools to take shortcuts. And that is why the home-school partnership is so important. The partnership between parents and school, so that we both, parents and teachers, our educators of our children, can help guide our children in the use of AI for their homework. Of course, in school, we will guide, we will have AI literacy, we'll teach our students when to use AI and when not to use AI. In our teaching approaches through SLS, we have used the AI tools for an educative purpose, but we need to guard against children using general-purpose AI tools outside the teaching environment, which may cause them to cognitively offload. So that is a struggle that we all have to address as a whole-of-society approach, not just here in Singapore, but across the world. The member's second question is about the Swedish reversal to go back to to reverse their digital stance and to take away all these devices that they've given to children, I believe, at age of five. A couple of years ago, they gave it at age of five, and they're reversing that. Going back to analog, some people say it's going back to analog. Our approach is blended. As I said, we continue to have physical textbooks, we continue to have didactic teaching, we have classroom phenomenon-based learning, experiential learning, learning journeys, very teacher-centric. And AI, as I said just now, and I showed you that document, AI is a tool to enable learning. And so for us, we are mindful that if we don't draw the distinction between general AI tools versus specifically designed learning tools or educational AI, then it might cause us to take a wrong policy approach in Singapore and not use AI at all. I think that would be a mistake. Because of the changes that are happening in the world, we should make use of AI to help our students learn, because they're going to use it anyway. Whether you supervise them or not, they will use it. It's available on the internet, in your search engines, they're there. You can't switch it off, all right, in some instances, in your general search tools. And it's far better to start AI literacy young and start getting our kids to use AI for learning in a highly scaffolded, teacher-supervised and, of course, parent-supervised way. And then as they grow older, when they start using these tools independently, that they have the principles and foundation to be able to build on it. Because ultimately in higher learning and in the workplace, these tools will become ubiquitous. And so we need to prepare our children well and not take an approach that is that lacks discrimination. So that's key. And third, on opting out, it depends. If it's an SLS-enabled tool and is used in classroom learning, it's part of teaching and learning. It's part of teachers' blended approach. And I think that will enable our teachers to be able to help our children learn the cognitive aspects, the foundational knowledge more deeply. If there are specific tools that are externally brought in, where there is a parental consent element that we will then bring to the parents, then we will not allow the children to use those AI tools. But insofar as the use of AI in general teaching, blended approaches, it's like saying, I don't want my children to have a whiteboard, I want a blackboard. You know, I want print, but I don't want OHP in the past or PowerPoint to be used. I think we must enable our teachers to be able to perform their role. And this, of course, is subject to MOE guidance and good teaching or Singapore teaching practice.
Mr. David Ho.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the Minister for his response. I have three clusters of SQs. The first is about a recent Straits Times article reported that a primary five student was asked by the teacher to use ChatGPT for his homework. I'd like to clarify whether teachers can ask primary school students to use publicly available AI tools to assist them in their homework. And if so, also could MOE also share what is an appropriate age where students are then able to use publicly available AI tools to assist them in their learning? My second question is, since platforms such as OpenAI ChatGPT requires users below 18 to obtain parental consent, does MOE then also expect teachers to reach out to parents to get their consent to use such tools in classroom for their learning? If so, what support will be given to teachers? Because sometimes chasing parents to submit a form is significantly harder than getting a student to submit homework. Lastly, during a recent PAP, Women's Wing Listening Pod event, a parent asked whether could parents have the opportunity to try MOE's AI learning tools themselves, because this will help them to better experience the guardrails and also understand how to support their child in their learning. Hence, I would like to ask whether would MOE be open to having such engagement to let parents try how this AI MOE AI learning tool. If so, would MOE also be willing to do one in Clementi? And I'll be more than happy to run one parent engagement for my parents in living in Clementi.
Minister Lee.
I thank the member. On his first point, he raised an example in an ST article, and we will do better to make sure that in close partnership with our educators, we apply these AI usage principles and guidelines more effectively and consistently, because some of these general purpose tools are not appropriate for children at a particular age. There's a terms of usage for the tool itself, not to mention our own requirements on the use of AI to scaffold learning rather than impact it negatively. That's one. Second, I think the member mentioned that some AI tools have age restrictions, and if a teacher wants to use the tool in classroom but the child is below age, we need parental consent. If the tool has an age restriction, then we will not use it for children below that age. Simple as that, yeah? Second, the third one is to let parents try out MOE's AI tools like the Learning Feedback Assistant and so on. Let us take it back to see how we can do it in a meaningful way and scalable manner. Thank you.
Ms. Lin Chong.
Thank you, Speaker. Thank you, Minister. I actually have an SQ that's related to the equity paradox in AI use. I appreciate Minister's point about the difference between AI literacy and AI usage, and you know the importance of adult supervision as our children engage with AI tools from a young age. So I would like to know if Minister could elaborate on MOE's perspective on how students from more disadvantaged backgrounds, especially those with, you know, lesser access to parental guidance or adult supervision, right, may end up leaning more on AI and not less, and how such dependency might actually erode the very cognitive development that it is meant to supplement, and that these children who are most at risk are precisely the ones that we need to uplift instead of having the AI use deepen the education inequality. Thank you.
Minister Lee.
No, that is an argument that is, or that is a point that's evergreen. It's not just about AI. It's about children in less privileged backgrounds not having the same amount of scaffolding and support at home and outside school on a whole range of issues. And we have different approaches to handling that. The Opportunity Fund, we have Comlink, we have Give the Family, we have many other schemes that involve deep partnership with the community. And so I mentioned in school how we have supervision or supervised, teacher-supervised usage of AI tools, and that applies to all the students, particularly younger ones. As they leave school and go home and start using some of these tools, because SLS can only be used in the classroom when it comes to AI tools, then the risks of them using other tools that are free for use on the internet, and how do we ensure that outside the classroom there is supervision and support. So the AI literacy that we build in all through a student's learning journey guides them and helps to build in them that consciousness about appropriate AI usage. We hope, of course, that, I mean, that is the best defense, that the child imbibes it, understands it, regardless of their socioeconomic status, they learn about it, and then outside the school environment and all through life, they're mindful of its appropriate usage. But then for younger ones in the community and at home, of course, partnership with parents is important, regardless of background, but we endeavor to work closely with the community. And so we have homework support in different community groups. We have self-help groups that come in to provide support for children over and beyond what's available in school, and many other groups that come in to support our children. So that is a partnership we must tap on and continue to build, particularly when it comes to supporting them on appropriate AI use.
Ms. Cassandra Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Last weekend, the PAP Women's Wing in the Southwest held a dialogue with more than 100 parents and residents on the use of AI in our children's education. And we were glad a few members were able to join us. One sentiment that was surfaced echoes what Minister has said, that before our children use AI, they need to understand what it is, its limitation, as well as have the maturity and judgment to handle it responsibly. One of the most popular questions on that dialogue was, what would be the best age for parents to talk about AI to their child? Given MOE's position that AI exposure in schools currently begins from primary four, under low exposure and close teacher supervision. My question to the Minister is whether MOE has been consulted or will consider providing recommendations to MDDI as it studies the AI nutrition label and online safeguards, particularly whether AI tools, especially standalone AI tools, should have age-based guidelines, safeguards, or default protections that apply differently for our younger children. Thank you.
Minister Lee.
I think MDDI, MOH, MOE had given some recommendations and guidelines in 2025 on digital usage and use of technology at home and with children. And some of that will be useful reference for all of us as parents and as a community. But indeed, having that conversation early with your child about what AI is, because it can be embedded in your toys, online, it's available if the children have access to it at home in the community. So that conversation has to start early. In fact, while we start using AI for learning and allow our children to use AI tools in SLS under supervision from primary four, but AI literacy from MOE's perspective, we start from primary one. I just came back from China last week, and previously I went to Estonia to see the AI leap in action. In China, for instance, they start at age six. AI literacy, as well as basic awareness of its growing pervasiveness throughout, you know, like in toys and other things, so that there's literacy and understanding, and it's done in an age-appropriate way. And I think as parents, I know it's a lot on our plate, but we want to be able to do our best for our children and guide them as they interact with all these things at home and in the toys and so on. So I think that's a conversation that's best started as young as possible.
Ms. Alyssa Chen.
Thank you, Speaker, and thank you, Minister, also for sharing the very interesting example of how AI is used to teach creative writing in schools. I wanted to follow up by asking whether the Ministry has established clear guidelines on the responsible use of artificial intelligence tools by students to avoid infringement of third-party intellectual property rights. What measures are in place to discourage the use of AI tools to generate content that imitates or reproduces the work of artists and creators without consent and attribution? And whether the Ministry will consider strengthening AI literacy programs to place greater emphasis on ethical use, including respect for creators' rights and originality?
Minister Lee.
Certainly at primary school level and lower secondary, the use of AI tools are MOE developed and used in the context of SLS. Of course, we have through ICON for upper secondary school students, Notebook LM, which is available to upper secondary school students and which we are monitoring its usage. But through the MOE developed tools, we are mindful of its safety, its quality of output, its fitness for pedagogical use, and of course, in making sure that we avoid infringements of IP and other intellectual property rights. But ultimately, because some of the more general purpose tools, or for that matter, educational AI tools that are outside the SLS, are trained on a wider universe of knowledge and information, that the AI literacy that is taught in our children, all the way till when they are young adults, all the way through IHL, this element of prompt engineering or usage of the tool in a way that respects intellectual property rights, that does not cause offense, that does not infringe the law. Now, all these are things that we need to build in as part of AI literacy all through life.